And of course, we've got an hour to go with John Hogue as we talk about his prophecies and predictions for 2012. And we'll be back in a moment with your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, here we go. John Hogue, we'll take your calls. John, let's wrap up the 2012 again. So you think it may have happened 13 years ago?
Yeah, and I was talking about the degrees of influence, which is basically to speed it up here. It's been a 30-year period, 15 years in, 15 years out. And the real 2012 was 1998-1999, winter solstices. That's when the exact alignment took place. We started feeling the influence in the mid-80s of this end of an age, and we've been cleaning out the end of the 5,000-year Mayan age ever since. Now we're on the side that's going out, where last vestiges of the past have to be purified so that we face a new future. And basically what that means is that 30 is divided into 5 degrees. It's a little too complicated this late at night. So if you guys want to read about it,
it's in the e-book
chapter about it. The Mayan orb basically ends in 2016.
Okay.
So that's the last. So we're in the final degrees, the final unit of this time. So the next several years are going to see a lot of us fleshing out the past in all levels of life. So 2012 is actually the beginning of this final section unit of orbit time in the calendar, and it will be very, very interesting. But it's not the lineup that the Mayans talked about that happened 13 years ago.
How do you see things unfolding economically this year?
Well, I have some good news, actually, for America at least. I think the American economy is going to absorb whatever crisis is going to come from Europe. It's going to absorb it pretty well. The banks are preparing for the blow. And I see not a huge amount of growth, but like I was saying a few hours ago, I'm thinking that you'll see unemployment, the monthly unemployment, go down another percent and go around 7.5 by the time of the elections. And I think that will probably see Barack Obama elected.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the U.S. economy is going to be able to absorb it's going to be nasty, though, for Europe. Very, very nasty. I think you could actually see the European Euro Monetary Union slough off bankrupt Italy, Spain, Greece next year. I mean, this year. And you would see some of those countries in the European Union actually go into a deep depression, where the rest go into double-dip recession. It's going to be an interesting year for China as well, because this is the first time that they're completely changing the communist leadership in October of this year. And it will be the first time a generation is leading the country that did not have a part in Mao or Deng Xiaoping and the four modernizations of China that took place in the end of the 70s, which led to the modernization of this superpower of economy. So they're going to create a five-year plan, which also matches the 5 years of the final Mayan orb. And I think you're going to see the Chinese bubble not bursting in this year, but I would say in 2014 you will see a housing crisis bubble bursting in China that's as much bigger than what happened in America.
Well, that's amazing stuff. We shall see. And then North Korea, who knows what's going to happen there. Let's go to the phones east of the Rockies. Jeff is in Ferguson, Missouri. Hey, Jeff, go ahead.
Hey, George. Hey, Hogue. Pleasure speaking with you guys. I have a question. Mr. Hogue, do you see anything happening with the 2012 election that might postpone it? Any civil unrest or anything like that?
No, but I do see something that hasn't happened since 2000, and that's we have a retrograde Mercury. And in layman's terms, last time that happened, it caused the whole voting ballot snafu in Florida. that led to the Supreme Court having to decide who the president was. This time around, we have another retrograde, though that one was coming to an end at the election. This one's kind of starting at the election and going on. So there could be some voting strangeness that goes on, but I think it's actually going to favor Obama because of his astrology. I've been looking at the astrology of Gingrich, of Romney, and Obama, and Ron Paul. And actually, the two that have the strongest aspects that are favorable for the election night are Ron Paul and Barack Obama, which makes me think that if Ron Paul does do an independent run, he will actually do the most significant third-party run since Teddy Roosevelt's Bold Moose Party back in the turn of the last century. He won't win, but he could very well, with his movement, redefine the debate, the national debate, and I think that's what he's really shooting for anyway. Mitt Romney has a very positive aspect with the natal chart of the United States, but it's kind of in some detriment with some things that are going on astrologically, which will make it murky for him, but it's actually one of the better charts. Newt Gingrich has some big problems in June when Jupiter goes square against against Neptune. That will cause a lot of confusion and muddle and meltdown. So it'll be interesting to see who the Republicans put up. I frankly am getting to the point where I have no idea who's going to be.
No, it's really going to be difficult.
I did predict that Gingrich would win the South Carolina primary. I'm going to pull out my crystal ball before next Tuesday and see if I can see anything for Florida. I think he's going to win Florida, too. And then comes a very, very interesting development, which I've talked about on this show and also in my articles over the last 2 years. You may still see somebody completely different coming into this. You know, like Jeb Bush.
Yeah. It's not going to be Donald Trump. He won't do it.
No. You know, Donald Trump kind of shot his wad with the whole Kenyan thing.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Okay, back to the phone. San Diego we go. Hello, Ben, west of the Rockies. Go ahead. You're on with John Hogue.
Yes, hi, George.
Hi.
My question for Mr. Hogue was about Planet X, if he saw any sort of significant issues or things that might be caused or created by Planet X in 2012.
Okay. What do you think of Planet X, John?
I'd put an X on it. It's not going to happen.
Safe.
This Nibiru stuff is just not happening. Folks out there got to understand that a lot of private citizens are the basis for all the telescopic research that we're doing into space to see what's out there. It is impossible to censor it. Just look at the internet. Just look what happens with your emails. Or your Facebook. It is that we have a social network now where if somebody saw a real picture of a big protoplanet coming into the outside of our solar system, it would have been seen now, and it would not be kept secret. This is fantasy if you think otherwise, and you might as well join the Flat Earth Society. Sorry to be blunt, but it's about time to let go of this stuff, just like the end of the world in 2012.
All right, next up, we go to Roseville, Michigan. First-time callers, Chuck's with us. Chuck, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I just wanted to say that I think that the war with Iran can end up starting before the election, so that Obama himself will most likely, declare the powers that he has to prevent the election from actually happening under time of war, under those executive orders signed by Reagan. And the war is probably most likely going to happen this year.
All right.
He was saying with the 1941, he was saying we did the 1941 thing with Japan, and that's, same thing as it is today with our thing with Iran. I mean, theoretically, then the war with Japan would have hit Pearl Harbor in 1945 if the war with Iran doesn't happen in 2016.
Okay, let me stop you right there, because that's That's an interesting point, but there's an important structural flaw in that thinking. Iran is not Japan, and Iran also Japan was actually, when its only source of energy was cut off. You do that to any country, and you're going to end up in a war with them if you don't talk to them, or you can't make an agreement and find common ground. Because I frankly agree with what Roosevelt was doing, but still, that set up a situation where the militarists in your society will say, okay, like the Japanese cabinet became militarist. Tojo took over after this embargo happened. The peaceniks in the cabinet were given a few months up to the end of November, and if they didn't find a diplomatic solution, the plans to go ahead and strike America was going to happen. And in Iran, it's a very different thing, and it's also not so easy to stop Iran from getting fuel to its main clients, the Japanese, the Chinese, and so forth. They have friends with Russia. There's a lot more poor situation. There's a lot of ways to get around sanctions. The other thing, too, is that they are talking. The Obama administration and the Iranians are talking in back channels. And so it isn't like 1941 where the door is shut and you either do this or not. All this screaming that's happening from Tehran and all these threats about putting up the embargo, it's interesting to note that there's an important time that's not being talked about. If these sanctions go forward, if Europe joins these sanctions, the contracts that are currently engaged will not run out until July. So basically what's happening behind the scenes of all this is there is a window for some diplomatic breakthrough between now and July. So I think that's what's going to happen. I don't think there's going to be a war with Iran. I don't think that all this yelling and screaming is actually leading towards that. It's leading towards forcing Iran to some kind of diplomatic concession, which Iran will play at doing, and then another 4 years probably will have to be here again. And then that time, it probably will be a war.
Let's go to DeWitt, Iowa. Dan's turn on Coast to Coast. Dan, you're up with us. Go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi.
John, I want to commend you of all the people that are on this program. I listen to you because you're not screaming about the sky falling and you're calm and collected, so I appreciate that.
Thank you.
The Georgia Guidestones, I believe, say that the planet is capable of carrying 500 million people and sustaining them. I was wondering what your thoughts were on that and if the Earth can cleanse itself to that point. How do you think it might happen?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I think I understand the question, or the comment, but what I've been saying at least is that our problem isn't that there's too many people on the planet. Our problem is that we have a kind of an immature civilization that, just like a kid, can't tie its own shoelaces, can't clothe itself, can't feed itself. And that's why large areas of our population go hungry, go naked, don't even have shoes.
It'll go to 9 billion in 15 years, John?
But I could see a situation with a more enlightened society that has an economy based on generosity and compassion, not on Darwinian survival of the fittest, which is very animalistic and inhuman, that will eventually come where you may see in the future an Earth teeming with 50 billion people, and it will not be crowded. It will be a paradise, and it's not a question of population. It's a question of we can't sustain with our current immaturity this economic model at this level of population.
Gosh, could you imagine the traffic in L.A.? It's bad now.
Well, you know, it would be interesting how it works. It probably, the thing I visualize is great structures that are as tall as Mount Rainier, and people live in them, and then they're able to go out and live in vast areas. It would probably be more nature and parks in a world of 50 billion the way I visualize it than there is now. It's all about maturity and youth, love and compassion. And we're not there yet. We'll get there. We're not there yet.
Kim from Alamogordo, New Mexico, says about your predictions for president, winning streaks always have to come to an end.
Absolutely agree. I don't know how many times since 2000, since 1996. Gosh, I started doing this with Art Bell in 94. And when I predicted, Clinton being a two-term president, I actually wrote an article in a magazine in 1983 where Reagan was running for second term and said he'd win his second term. George W. Bush, H.W. Bush, would his vice president would only be a one-term president, and then he'd be followed in 92 by a two-term Democrat. And that's a documented article, the Rajneesh Times. I wrote for that magazine, and it's there. And it was published in late 1983. I totally agree with her. I'm waiting for it, and maybe this will be it, but I don't think it will be.
Well, John, we're going to take a break pretty soon, so would you mention your websites and how people can download your ebooks?
Yes, my website is called HogueProphecy.com, and it's linked to George's website right now at Coast to Coast. And you go in there, and it's a very easy, simple PayPal effect of just you look at the books. There's little overviews of each book. You press the button, and you make a very easy purchase of these books. I have right now posted on the website an overview of three of the books, one about the papal prophecies of St. Malachi, one about the possibility of war with Iran, and another, the most burning topic in Nostradamian discussion, who is the third Antichrist and is he alive today? And that's called Nostradamus and the Third Antichrist. And those are all ebooks that you can download and read on your iPad or your Kindle or anything like that if you've got a PDF app. And I write ebooks now because I probably destroyed a whole forest or two in the first 10 books that I wrote out of paper that sold for 1.3 million units in 19 languages. So now, ever since 2003, I've been writing electronic books.
Because of that, you don't want to use paper, huh?
Yeah, and also, it was kind of thrust upon me because the prophecy genre and the publishing industry it's Cretaceous right now. It feels like the final era of the dinosaurs over there. And I just, being a futurist, if I'm worth my salt, I'm going to take the next great thing. So I dove in early when most people were saying, yeah, but I wanted a real book, I gave them an e-book. Now I only had one person, one in a thousand, think he was having an e-book, a paper book. So people are learning.
That's amazing what the internet has done to print, isn't it?
It's a massive revolution.
Huge.
I mean, if you want to see where revolution is happening every day, like, it hasn't hit the politics of this country yet, but it sure hit the communication revolution.
Sure is. John, stay with us. We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM, and we will take final phone calls with you. If you need to email me, of course, it's george@coasttoco.com. We shall be right back with final phone calls from San Diego, State College, Pennsylvania, Great Falls, Montana, and the rest of the country and North America on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, Seth Shostak joins us. We talk about Confessions of an Alien Hunter, C. SETI, and SETI at Large. SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. It's an amazing story today where a Russian scientist said that back in 1982, one of the Venus probes that landed on Venus spotted living creatures. We'll talk with Seth about that tomorrow on Coast to Coast AM. John Hogue, does Barack Obama keep Joe Biden, or does he bring in Hillary Clinton?
Well, he keeps Joe Biden. And interesting, I just got a message from Mabel on her Mac that she couldn't hear me mention my .com, so I'm going to just quickly...
Do it again.
Just say HogueProphecy.com. That's HogueProphecy.com. And if that's too many letters this late at night, just go to Coast and you'll see my link there at the Coast page.
It's going to be interesting times. It's a good time to be alive. Of course, any time, I guess, is good to be alive, John.
Yeah, golden age or dark. It's good to be breathing.
Sure is. Back to the phones we go. San Diego, Clint is there. Hey, Clint, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Good morning. How you doing, Mr. Hoag, Mr. Noyes? A pleasure to speak with both of you.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, I got actually two questions, kind of. I was told, too, with the long count calendar, the Mayan long count calendar, some people were saying it wasn't going to end until September, December 2015. And the second question was, is that do you see like a positivity, you know, source coming towards our way as far as energy that people, you know, uplifting? Because I know, you know, we've been pretty negative, and sometimes I know it takes, you have to kind of, you know, get to the lowest point to get back up. But for me, I'm 34 years old, and I see more positivity maybe in the near future than more, you know, kind of overseeing what the negativity is doing to us and kind of overseeing that and kind of getting over that obstacle and getting more positive.
Okay, well, here's the thing. I'll address your first question, your second question first.
Okay.
The strange thing about the polarities of life is that, you know, the sand seems negative to the oyster, but it creates the pearl. Mm. It chafes the oyster. Sometimes it's good to celebrate the friction, because the point of friction is making us aware of where we need to grow. And actually, things getting worse are actually going to bring more and more people like yourselves and others to find the contrast and bring things better. So the other thing, too, is that as far as I understand, mass movements do not create enlightenment. I mean, did you ever see a herd of Jesuses or a herd of Buddhas? Hmm. Most of the people who become great founders of religions are alone.
Sure.
And but they impact millions of people with their gift of enlightenment. So enlightenment doesn't come in crowds. However, enough individuals becoming their full potential alone together make an enlightened community. But and as to your second question or comment, that speaks to the Mayan orb that I was talking about. We're not completely, the sun's position in the coal sack that's the center of the Milky Way, it's taken 30 years to go from one end of the sack to the other. It's a very small movement. But the midpoint was in 1998-99. Now we're kind of moving out of influence. And yes, by 2015-2016, we're completely out of that that change. So you could almost say if time is a line and you draw a line vertically into it, the width of that line you drew vertically into the timeline is the twilight zone between two Mayan ages.
Sam in Bellevue, Washington wants to know by sending a text. Says, you're a smart guy there, John. I'm 70. Will I see war if I live to 100? I think that's a pretty smart bet, don't you?
Well, yeah, that's pretty smart bet, but nice to say hello to a fellow Washingtonian.
There you go. Let's go to Landon in State College, Pennsylvania. He's been on hold for a while. Hi, Landon. Go ahead.
Hey, George. It's really great to finally be on the show.
Good.
I've been listening for a few weeks, and you are a good man. You've given me a lot of wisdom, and I want to thank you very much for that.
Well, I learned from people like John Hoag, Landon. These guys are the class act of radio.
My phone's dying, so I'm going to make this very quick.
Sure.
My two questions are, we've had a earthquake on the East Coast last year. I was wondering if there's going to be another one, and possibly around the same area, or probably in the, you know, Midwest around Kansas or whatever. My second question is, technology is advancing so fast. I was wondering, are we going to possibly someday see artificial intelligence, like robots, and would we possibly become the second dominant species on the planet if we have robots and they see themselves as, you know, superior to us?
Sure, self-replicating. John, first question, earthquake on the East Coast.
Well, I'm going to answer his second question first.
All right.
And I would simply say quickly that if humanity builds an artificial intelligence that's based, that mimics human ego, yes, robots will take over.
No question.
If humanity at that point in the next century understands that they have to make the artificial intelligence match their wisdom, their consciousness, their compassion and love, then no. Then we will be harmonious with our artificial intelligence. It'll be like Data rather than Data and the Star Trek crew rather than HAL and the Discovery 2 crew. So, now to your first question.
The other one was earthquake on the East Coast.
There are three zones of seismic activity that we have to look out for starting in 2018. For the next 2 years after August 2018, when an eclipse happens over the Cascadian subduction zone, then passes over the New Madrid fault line in Missouri, and then exits the United States over Charleston, all three of these areas are potentially powerful seismic areas. We don't have time tonight to talk about it, but you can read about it in HogueProphecy.com and many articles. There is a pattern where the shadow of large eclipses seem to generate in the same area touched by the shadow within 18 months to 24 months major seismic activity. And so I am thinking that when this great eclipse that hits the United States in 2018 takes place, we will be in a window of major seismic activity in those three areas.
Very good. We'll go to Great Falls, Montana now. JG is with us. Hi, JG.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Hi, John. I just have a quick question. What do you see or predict, John, for Yellowstone and our caldera there?
Which is overdue, John.
Yes, pretty much so.
I don't see a supervolcanic activity in Yellowstone. I am more concerned, actually, because of the prophecies of Nostradamus about another supervolcano that is not being mentioned that much in America, and that's one that's just slightly northwest in the northwestern suburbs of Naples in Italy. This is another supervolcano potential, a little smaller than Yellowstone, but big enough to create an ashfall that I think a lot of Catholic prophecies as well as Nostradamus prophecies talk about a Rome being evacuated because the sky goes dark for 3 days and three nights. And a lot of that alludes to a potential ashfall from a volcanic eruption over there.
Do you think the Antichrist is walking on this planet right now?
Well, I wrote a whole book about it in early 2008, and when I reread it to see if it needs updating, I'm amazed how it reads like I wrote it yesterday, and it looks at the most famous prophecies of Nostradamus dealing with a third Antichrist, the first being Napoleon, the second being Hitler, a third being codenamed Mabus, M-A-B-U-S. There are a number of very interesting candidates very on either side of conflict in the Middle East, from the West and from the Middle East, that all share a convergence of focus on the battleground in the Middle East. Two of them are American presidents, one the previous and the current American president. Two of them are, one is Saddam Hussein, and the other is Osama bin Laden, the head of Al-Qaeda, who both those two are dead. Now, what's important about that is this prophecy, unique to all the others, states that, about Antichrist, states it's the death of the Antichrist that triggers his war, which lasts either 27 or 25 years. So the ones that are not walking the earth but are either 6 feet under the earth in Tikriti area or 600 fathoms beneath the sea in the Arabian Sea, as is Osama bin Laden, they're the ones that intrigue me more as candidates for Antichrist. But there is one interesting sideline to this, and I predicted it would happen. There's a man named Ray Mabus who has become the Secretary of the Navy, which is very involved in the Middle East right now with the Fifth Fleet. This guy is unfortunate that he has his name that exactly spells out Mabus. When he was running as a helper in Mississippi, former governor of Mississippi for the Barack Obama campaign, I said, he's going to end up in the cabinet of Barack Obama. And when that happens, everybody will start talking about him again. I think it's just an unfortunate coincidence of being named Mabus. I don't think he has any connection, but that personal opinion I'll put aside to my scholarly side, which I have to also look at Barack Obama's name, which also converts to Mabus, but also George W. Bush's name converts to Mabus. And if you want to see how that happens, you have to go through the interesting world of Nostradamus's word plays. And the best way to look at that is to read my book on it, Nostradamus and the Antichrist, codenamed Mabus.
Isn't it amazing, by the way, that former Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon is still alive in that coma?
Yes.
He's 83 years old now.
And it caused a lot of prophetic debate, especially amongst Kabbalists in Jerusalem and in America. And it's not like they're saying this is the case, but it is an ironic thing to meditate on that a man who gave up land that was part of the chosen land shortly after that, when Gaza was kind of sort of given halfway, given to the 1.5 million Palestinians that are there, that shortly after that happened and Jewish settlements were moved, he has this stroke. And so, now a lot of people like to attribute that to punishment from God. As far as I go with that, I would say conditioning is so deep, our national and racial conditioning, which gives us the illusion that we're all separate from each other, that we're all not one family of the human race, which is what the people of the future will understand when they snap out of this conditioning. That is what makes prophecy work, makes us so stupid and predictable, and makes us fight each other and suffer because we live in a society that trains us to divide ourselves from the cosmic whole and not see ourselves as part of the cosmos, a wave upon the great ocean of existence. No, we're just a wave, separate from the ocean, and we're sad or angry. I wouldn't put it past the programming of someone growing up in Israel that even the stroke was triggered by that idea that somehow I have to be punished in the subconscious level. Now, this is not science. This is just an opinion. It has no more weight or lack of weight than Kabbalists musing about the same issue.
Let's go to Farmington, Missouri. Chuck's with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Chuck. Go ahead.
Hi. I got a question for Mr. Hoag the other night I was listening when you were talking with Linda Moulton Howe about the 2012 NDAA.
Yes.
And the powers that it can give the President and the Department of Defense. And I was curious if you had any predictions or ideas about the next few years and maybe what could be sinister factions within the government sort of leading up to a restructure of the United States where, you know, the Constitution's thrown out and the general populace is subjugated or repressed.
There's not much time left, so sorry to interrupt, but there's not much time left, and this is very... I wanted to get on this subject a few times. We got close to it. In my book, Predictions for 2012, there is definitely forces of control and dominion that are set to push and suppress democracy, not just here, but in the whole world. There is a concept that's coming out of China that totalitarian regimes are better for capitalism and money-making than democratic systems. That's kind of purveying underneath what there's this new struggle between the democratic idea and the totalitarian idea for free markets and free democracy. The Chinese are the main proponents of this, but you're also seeing a lot of corporate interests in this country that would like to, in the name of smaller government, which is a good idea, a name of many good ideas, are actually out to dismantle people's freedoms. You see it with the Supreme Court making corporations people, which means now multinational corporations, money from offshore can influence all the elections, not simple citizens of this country. It is the first salvo in what could very well develop in the next 5 or 6 years into a second American Revolution, one that I work towards being peaceful, but it could very well end up a bloody civil war over this issue. And it's as old as revolutions have ever been, where a plutocracy that's developing tries to suppress an emergent middle class that is gaining more political strength,
right,
demanding more freedom.
Never works, John, does it?
That never works. Eventually, the people prevail.
We must get you back closer to Election Day to see if these predictions remain the same, okay?
Yes, that would be great. It's going to be a long year.
As of right now, you think Barack Obama will win re-election?
Yes, he'll win probably by 8.5% of the popular vote. But if there is a dispute over his election, unlike what happened last time, he will actually win the dispute.
We need Matt Drudge to pick this up on his website and simply say, prophecy expert predicts Obama re-election. That would be an intriguing thing to see.
That would be.
All right, John. Thanks again. You take care. Any conferences coming up for you?
Well, I'm still waiting to see if I might see you again in mid-February. It's a possibility I might be coming down.
All right. You let me know if you you will. We'll get together.
Okay. I'd love it.
Very good. That's John Hoag. His website, hoagprophecy.com. And again, on our next Coast to Coast program, Seth Shostak joins us. We talk about the search for extraterrestrial life. It'll be one of those classic Coast to Coast shows. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy and Punnett, John V. Wells and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.